The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
In these winter months, consider TripInsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from TripInsurance.com.
This is Cruise Radio, a special edition, Costa Concordia, Tragedy in the Mediterranean.
Hey, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker. If you're a first-time listener, check us out online at cruiseradio.net.
I was out Friday night, got the Facebook alert, and there you had the story right up there before. That was the first time I had seen it.
And you know what? I saw it randomly on Twitter, just someone saying, oh my gosh, a cruise ship ran aground. But I thought it was like nothing, like it hit a sandbar. I had no clue it was going to have like such grave consequences.
Yeah, it is a huge story. And so we're very lucky to have one of the passengers from the Costa Concordia who's going to talk with us about that whole night. But first, Stuart Shear on the Cruise Guys here, America's most quoted cruise expert, a contributor to ABC's Good Morning America, CNBC, CNN, and Fox Business. Before we talk to Stuart, there was a press conference earlier today with the chairman and CEO of Costa Cruises, Pierre Fasci.
Do you have any explanation for why the captain changed the ship's course? Yes, the explanation is that he wanted to show the ship to nearby this island of Giglio, and so he decided to change the course of the ship to go closer to the island and pass through in front of the little city that sits in that island. This is what he wanted to do.
Stuart, is it common for captains to deviate from the course?
No, because the courses are preset and loaded into the computer based on weather conditions. It's kind of like a flight plan where the plane was supposed to go from A to B, and it kind of deviates because of certain conditions that may arise. In this case, the captain went way off course. He was anywhere from 2 to 4 miles off course, and you know, there's all kinds of speculation as to what he was actually doing. And you know, of course, those will come out. The truth will come out. You know, when they have more time to review the black box, to review the entire matter, and also the tapes to find out what really was the main reason for the captain to deviate from the course.
And for the folks who are listening, the ship was actually heading up the northern coast of Italy between the mainland and an island, right?
Yes, it was heading north, between the mainland Italy. It had just left Civitavecchia, which is the port for Rome, and it was on its way to Savona, which is one of the ports for Genoa.
So how far is that island off the coast of Italy, do you know?
No, I don't recall. It's not far. Mm-hmm. I mean, in this case, there's been all kinds of reports. Probably the most realistic one is that the rock formation, it wasn't a reef, the rock formation, underground water rock formation that he struck was just east southeast of the island, and put a 160-foot gash into the port side, the left side of the ship as it was going north. And in order to attempt to save the ship, the captain actually turned the ship around 180 degrees, headed south. And, the reason that, the pictures that we've seen are of the ship, resting like really close to the town. And what the captain was trying to do was essentially get the ship in the shallow water.
Beach it, yeah.
And essentially beach the ship to help, save lives.
Well, I have one for you. Passengers claimed that this may be true, that there was no lifeboat drill before the ship left Civitavecchia. Is that the case? Because I know like in the U.S., it's always like right before departure.
Well, that is a very good question. And to better understand it, Doug, what a lot of cruise lines doing, Costa does it, Royal Caribbean and NCL is actually going to be doing it this summer, where you actually can begin your cruise in on the same ship in different European ports. As an example, this ship left Civitavecchia on its way for a 7-night cruise. The next port of call was Savona, which is the port, one of the ports for Genoa, and Savona is another port where they pick up cruise passengers. So the ship left Civitavecchia on Friday. It was going to pick up another round of passengers and leave the other passengers that got on in Savona the previous week, and then they were going to be doing the lifeboat drill on Saturday afternoon before the ship departed. So this way, the passengers that began their 7-day cruise in Rome would have the lifeboat drill along with the passengers that got on in Savona, and this way they only have to do the lifeboat drill once a week.
All right. What impact is this going to have on the cruise industry?
Well, I think what it's going to do is, you know, some people that may not have cruised before may have second guesses and questions about whether or not they want to do it. But, you know, they need people to reassure them, which is one of the one of the many reasons to listen to shows like Cruise Radio, because, I mean, cruising is still the one of the absolute safest vacation options available in the world today. Now, keep in mind, since 1990, more than 190 million people worldwide have gone on a cruise without any major incident. There's nothing in the world that can compare to the safety record that the cruise industry has.
Do you think this event is going to affect cruise pricing?
Well, cruise pricing right now, Doug, is really, you know, in a very good place.
Yeah.
It's very healthy. The prices are higher. And, you know, here we are into the, you know, the second week of the year, third week of the year. And, you know, we're into what, you know, is called wave season, which is, you know, part of the peak booking period of the whole calendar year. And, you know, we really haven't seen any worthwhile sales. I mean, none of the cruise lines are offering drop dead, you know, pricing. You know, air inclusives, you know, significant shore excursion, significant shipboard credits like we've seen in the past. I mean, there really aren't, you know, any fantastic offers. Why? Because the ships are sailing and they're sailing full, which is a very good indicator about what, you know, 2012 could be for the industry.
Do you feel safe cruising on Costa, Stuart?
I would cruise on Costa tomorrow. Yeah. I would have absolutely no reservation, and anyone, you know, that was contemplating sailing on Costa, or any cruise ship for that matter, I would take my family tomorrow, you know, my two beautiful kids and my wife, and I would go, and I would feel 100% safe in the captain, the ship, and the cruise line I was sailing on.
All right, thanks, Stuart. Up next, a passenger from the Costa Concordia, Ian Dunoff.
This is Cruise Radio.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being. And they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. tripinsurance.com.
Have a question for the experts, or would you like to talk about your cruise or vacation experience, good or bad? Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
Ian Dunoff from Southwest London was a passenger aboard the Costa Concordia, and we're very lucky to have him with us now. Thank you so much for being with us on Cruise Radio, Ian, and appreciate you sharing your story. First of all, who were you with on that cruise?
Janice and I were on our honeymoon. It's the second time around for us. My late wife died some 4 years ago, and I met a lovely lady, a lawyer. and we went on this cruise as if she wanted something that I didn't do. We go abroad quite often, but I hadn't cruised before. I usually get fairly seasick on small boats, but she said, no problem with a large boat like this.
All right, so tell us all about what happened that evening.
Yeah, what it was, no, some people actually were still having dinner. We went to, in fact, we were offered a meal at one of their more exclusive eating locations. where in fact we're only, you know, sitting next to the captains. The captain was having a meal there. But we then finished early, and they had some sort of show. It was a magician show. Quite a well-known magician in Italy or whatever it was doing a show. And in the big auditorium, which you can see is about 2,000 people, quarter of an hour in, that's 9:45 in the evening, he did a very good introduction for a few 10 minutes, went down into the audience to get somebody to help him, probably going to sever his body in half or something like that, and then he disappeared. I mean, this wasn't magic.
Right.
He just disappeared. He heard the crunch noise that I heard, that the lights went out and emergency lights went on, and people at that lower deck then rushed out back to their rooms pretty quickly. There was an announcement on the tannoy saying that it was a generator fault. The captain advised generator fault. There's no need to panic. Generator fault's no problem, you know. But then I saw more and more people leaving the auditorium, and at the mixer desk and everything, no power to it. I said, you know, it's going to be ages. Let's go back. As we were going back, we saw people sort of poking out of their staterooms and deciding, so should they put on their life jackets and this sort of thing? So we thought, well, perhaps we should go into our room and put on our life jackets. And as we were doing so, in the just a single emergency light that there is that we could make out, we thought, well, hold on a minute. Whatever we do, we're going to go outside on an outer deck to get a lifeboat. It's going to be bloody cold even if we don't get on the lifeboat, if everything is sorted out.
Right.
But meanwhile, they hadn't called for any evacuation or anything. There was no emergency signals, as we had learned from the video that we first saw when we first boarded in Barcelona.
Right.
So we then went out on deck. We actually took our passports, you know, some credit cards.
Good, smart.
And my camera, because I not to take photos on this situation.
Right,
but,
of course.
Which it wouldn't really, but of course all our memories of our honeymoon.
Right.
We're on it, and the different places we'd visited. So there I was, armed, thinking that perhaps it'd be a localized problem. But then the boat started going to one side, and then going over to the other side, and getting worse and worse. About 25-degree angle. So this is not normal. Something's a problem. And why have we stopped? A big cruise liner with a generator problem doesn't stop. I don't believe it. I thought, hold a minute, a generator is run off probably the same motor that does a, you know, that gets the ship going. So, you know, something's amiss somewhere. When we got to the muster stations, as they call it, on deck, they didn't know what to do about head counts to get on the life rafts and that sort of thing, and it took ages to get on, about an hour or so, to get on to the actual lifeboats, you know, which are motorized and goodness knows what, state-of-the-art.
Right.
But we were then now at a very acute angle. We were up in the air, as you've probably seen by the photos. The bit that's up in the air doesn't allow, gravity doesn't take over. It doesn't allow for the lifeboats to fall.
Right.
Into the water. And when 136 people were in our lifeboat, and nothing moved, couldn't get it off. Everybody then had to get off gingerly. But meanwhile, the angle was certainly more than 70 degrees. You know, the angle that you see in the photos now.
Right.
And the deck being painted with a nice polyester paint, was like an ice rink at that angle.
Oh, geez.
You kept on falling on the inner wall. As it worsened, of course, it was impossible because we didn't know what was going to happen. If the boat sank and we were in this deck, which was a covered deck apart from the access to the lifeboats and sort of areas of, viewing gaps, you know, we wouldn't stand a chance. So somebody found an certainly the staff didn't know what to do. They couldn't improvise. They didn't know what to do. But somebody thought the idea, let's get a ladder and put it up through so we can actually go on the outside hull. Now, when hundreds of people have to inch themselves along, as it were, over the windows of the dining room, which were the wall, effectively, they were sorting, they were walking on, and then get up this ladder. From a sort of how people managed, I don't know. I don't recall. It's one of those things you blot out in your life.
Right.
You can't recall how you actually get up that ladder. There was pushing, shoving. There were, you know, my new wife lost her shoes in the process, but carried on upwards. When people got out on the hull, as it were, and waiting for further things to happen, we saw lots of life. You know, the local lifeguards, whatever it is that they have around. And we saw them with their boats, but we thought we'd be all right. You know, it was a tranquility that set over, which is interesting because everybody was bestial, as it were, trying to get up that ladder and not allowing others to go before them. And so, therefore, there wasn't much gentility. Men were pushing off women, goodness knows what, you know, to get to get up quicker. But once people were up, the authorities got up a rope ladder right up to where we were, which is about 5 stories in height, from where we had to get down to the sea level where they had their safety rafts and small boats for us to get on. And gingerly, people had to get on their backsides and go forward on this rope and then turn round as you came under the bow of the ship to then drop onto the boats below, which were transferred to another boat and then onto that small island. But that takes an interminable amount of time, unbelievable amount of time, because some people aren't agile, not used to ladders, not used to doing it this way, and any minor slip would have meant certain death.
Yeah.
So it was a miracle that nobody fell. It was but of course everybody was gingerly going down, which of course is a slow process. We were in the last 100 to actually get off the boat. When we got some transferred, you know, everything seemed okay.
I know y'all were at the show when all this went down, but were you getting any reports as to what was going on in the dining room?
The dining room was a crazy place, somebody told me. It's a two-tier dining room with a central atrium in the middle. That means you're over, you know, there's a balcony area and you're overlooking other diners. When the angles, of course, went crazy, you know, crockery, cutlery, and goodness knows what went cascading and injured quite a few people.
Let me ask you, Ian, initially the sound that you heard, can you describe when you were in the auditorium watching the magic show?
Yeah, it was like a crunch. I can imagine a large crunching sound. I mean, I didn't know what that was, but it wasn't deafening, but there was a definite loud crunch.
And it sounded out of the ordinary. It was definitely
it's a sound we haven't heard yet. Yeah.
Wow, that's really. I guess the question I got to ask you now, Ian, though, is: would you ever consider cruising again?
Yes, I would. I suppose. You know, when you hear people get run over by crossing the road, doesn't mean you'll never cross the road again, would it? But I do think, I mean, my thoughts are that the safety standards will have to increase.
All right. Ian Donoff out of Southwest London, a passenger aboard the Costa Concordia. God bless you. Glad you're okay. And thank you so much for making time for us to share your experience.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. We remember those lives who are lost. Our hearts go out to their friends and family. And to those who are still missing, our thoughts and prayers are with you. From the Cruise Radio Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Basford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales@cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.